Hey, Lord, I come to you this morning, and myself, I don't have a lot to say. But if you come in and you fill my heart and you anoint me, then there will be words of life that will flow. That ain't because I'm special. That's because that's what you told me you would do. And I believe that. I believe what you tell me, and I thank you for that. So, Lord, come. Holy Spirit, fill this house, and we just thank you and bless you. In your holy name, amen. We're going to take just a few moments. This is the 4th of July weekend, and I just cannot go by personally without celebrating the soldiers of this great country. I look back, and men and women have paid the price from the time the Israelites were freed out of Egypt. And yeah, they messed up like we in America have messed up. But as our soldiers continue to go to war, so that we can get up, and I can get up here and stand and talk like this morning, that just touches my heart. And so I want to salute them this morning with a short video. And if you can dim the lights just a little bit for me, Roy's going to cue up the video for us.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. Falls. I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away.
For any and all of you that have ever lost a loved one in a skirmish, a relative, a friend, a brother, a sister, my heart goes out to you this morning, and we thank you. For those of you that have sons and daughters that are serving today, I salute you, I thank you. Because war rages on. As the war you saw raging on there, there's a spiritual war here today, this morning, that is raging in the hearts of men and women. You're trying to figure out life. And you know what? I did not get handed a handbook when I was born. I did not have a book that I got to study on. This is what I do as a toddler. This is what I get to do in my adolescence. That would have been handy. That would have been handy for somebody to have that book. Not that I would have listened, but at least I'd have had a guide, and I can go back and say, well, you were told. That would have been helpful. I was told a lot, but a lot of times it wasn't the right stuff or at the right time or in the right way. So you get to learn along the way. So this morning I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit again. And you've heard Uncle, well, he's not my uncle, heard Pastor Jeff talk about the Holy Spirit for weeks, several weeks. And Pastor Jeff, I cannot match him week for week theologically. Okay, he's covered every theological base there is on the Holy Spirit. So you've got the nuts, the bolts, the foundation. But where I can hold pace is in life experience. Because I've lived 54 years of trying to figure it all out. Some of you have lived that long, some of you have lived less and longer, trying to figure this whole thing out and how to get there, and how to do that. And the Holy Spirit is interesting. We come to church and we've been taught from we're real small, and they're probably teaching it over there at some point today. We come to church and there's the Godhead three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, y'all have a different picture of what that all looks like. Oops. We've got the Father, who some of you have clear out there somewhere. I mean, we all have different visions of him. That's where God was for me a long time. I got Father God, near and clear out there. Jesus, you're the good buddy that hung around me. And then the Holy Spirit, who was weird Uncle Al that I kept back there in the corner because the church made him really weird. And so now we're here talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. You're going, well, I don't even know about the Father and the Son, and now you're throwing the Holy Spirit? Well, it was pretty simple. God created the heaven and the earth. He created me. And he says, Bert, because you're such a sinner, I'm going to create a way out of this mess for you, and I'm going to send my son Jesus for you. So there. So I got them two down real pat, okay? But then he says, that ain't all I'm going to send you. And we're going to talk about that part today as we go through. So hopefully in your bulletins this morning, you all got one of these little blue sheets. And if you didn't, do we have any more that we can hand out? Anybody not get a blue sheet? Because I think you're really going to like this down the road. So if you can hold your hand up, I got some ushers going to hand some out. I think it's real important you get one. Because as I was researching this week, I'm going, you know, I know what the Holy Spirit does in my life. But what's the Holy Spirit? What was he called to do all over? We got one up here in the front here. We got one up here that needs one, David, please. We got one over here, Brother David. And I found here are 50 things the Holy Spirit does. Now, this ain't 50 things the Holy Spirit did. This ain't 50 things the Holy Spirit's going to do someday when the ascension and the blood moons all get together and all that happens. This is what he's doing now. This is what he's involved with on a daily basis in your life. And as I begin to go down through these, I'm going, wow, this is awesome stuff. So I got to thinking, why don't we break this down and bring this home a little more? The Holy Spirit's a gift to you. Here's how it came down. Jesus was with his disciples, and he was there towards the end, and it's in John 14. Let's go to John 14, those of you that have your Bible. those of you that are playing Candy Crush on your phone, you can go over to John there if you can break away for a moment. I'm not going to put your level in jeopardy while I swap over there real quick. And John 14, we go to verse 25. And this is Jesus. He's talking, you know, they're at the table, and they're a lot happened at that table that night. I mean, the communion happened. Jesus is talking to them. And he goes, and he begins to talk about the gift of peace and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so in verse 25, he goes, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." Stop and think about that, being present with Jesus. Okay, again, we're on the back side of the story. Let's talk about being present with the Jesus you know deep in your heart now. We got a little gal, Charlotte. I hope you don't let me expose you a little bit, but I'm going to. When I hear her sing about the Jesus, tears just flow from this woman, the compassion of and the love and the grace of who Jesus is to her. And so she's got the backside of the story of who Jesus is. So just think, Jesus, if you were present, that verse talks about, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." And of all the things that Cheryl Leffler could ask of Jesus, is if she was sitting that day with him, if she could lay her head on his breast, his shoulder, and he would just hold her, and he would comfort her, and he would take the pain of this world away, and the things that have gone by that should have worked out, you thought would have worked better and different. These guys had it all. But you know what? They were blind to it. They had no idea that it was even before them. They had a gold mine, and they did not know how to go after it. It was kind of like that thing I was talking earlier about being the father and having your kids at the table, and you got so many things, or your mother at the table. You got your heart's just pounding. You got things you want to say, and you don't do it because fear, maybe, anxiety. They're busy talking about their stuff. But nobody around the table was asking Jesus the deep things. They were asking, "I didn't do it. He did it." You know, they were in the skirmish. And they didn't take the time to mine out of the dear sweet Jesus the things that were in there. They says, "Hey, you're going to be our next king. You're going to be the next great ruler, and we're going to follow after you." And I think Jesus is saying, "I didn't say that anywhere like that. That is not what I came to do." And you guys should see this by now. But we as well, even on the backside of the story, a redemption story, should see all this by now. But there's times we don't get it neither. There's times we just either refuse to get it, don't believe it. We weren't taught it from some old man standing up here on the pulpit, or not so old man. Okay, I don't want to call everybody an old man, but if it doesn't come from up here, sometimes you dismiss it. But how about you getting in and finding out for yourself? And so let's go on a little bit further. It says in 26, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father sent, will bring to you," not to the guy standing up here on the platform, not to the televangelist on the TV, "he will bring to you sitting in that seat, right where you are." But I've had some of you say, "But the Holy Spirit don't speak to me." Sure he does. You just don't listen. He speaks to you. He wants to speak to you, and he's continually will speak to you. But the other thing is, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit will not cross a line and ram himself down your throat. He's so respectful of you. And so then we go. There's another verse. See, if you're bringing the Bible in and you're trying to grab, you got to bring the whole Bible in. You can't just grab the pieces you like and throw out the stuff you don't like, okay? And I'm probably going to step on some of your toes, but that's okay. James 4, 2, and 3. You can go there if you want, but it says basically the crux, You have not, folks, because you aren't asking. You aren't asking the Holy Spirit into your day. You aren't asking him, hey, what part do you play in my life, Holy Spirit? Hey, I'm 14 years old, Holy Spirit, and I don't know how to get through teenage years. Wouldn't that be a novel idea if you ask him that and he says, I can lead you. Hey, I'm 34, Holy Spirit, and I don't know where to go next. I've got a good job, I got a family, but my life feels empty. And he says, ask me. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will show you. Holy Spirit, I just finished college, or I'm in college trying to figure out a major, trying to figure out something, trying to figure out what I'm doing spending all of dad and mom's money. What do I do with it? And he says, how about asking? You have not because you ask not. We're a spoon-fed nation, so if the government, Fox News, some yahoo on the radio who either on the right or the left ain't feeding it to you, or a preacher ain't feeding it to you, you don't go looking. Now, I'm not saying that applies to everyone. I don't want to beat up everybody out here, but we are a nation that expects information to come to us. We do not want to go out and dig, because you know what digging? That means that's work. And what if I get it wrong? You're going to get it wrong sometimes, but you know what? That's where grace comes in. Man, I've got it wrong so many times. I can have every one of my family members stand up and they can say, I can tell you when Dad got it wrong. Man, they could go. And you know what? They're right. Dad got it wrong a lot, and he'll really get it wrong more. But you know what? He continues to dig, and you tell me how I got it wrong. Let's talk about it. And Holy Spirit, how do I get it right now? Again, I didn't have that pamphlet I could turn to. Oh, my 21-year-old. This is how you raise a sane, thriving 21-year-old. I didn't have that book, Dave. Sorry, buddy. But by golly, you're turning out great. I'm proud of you, and God is proud of you. That's what's awesome. And Dave's my son, by the way, if you didn't get that part. And it's great. So you have not because you ask not. Luke 11, 9 through 13, you know what the crux of those verses are saying? Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. See, we go to the Lord, we go to the Holy Spirit, and we ask once, and we didn't hear nothing. Well, you know why you didn't hear nothing? Because you didn't put your cell phone down. You didn't put your game away. You had the TV going. You were still talking while you were supposed to be listening. You ever have somebody like that? They come to you and they want you to speak to them, but you can't get them to shut up. And Rich, I'm not pointing at you, brother. Sorry, man. It's just not you. Rich is okay with this, by the way. Well, if he ain't, he'll let me know the next time we get together. That's right. I'll remind him of this moment. But guilty. I am guilty of these things. And the Lord says, be still. Be quiet. And I says, but Lord, it's so uncomfortable to shut up. It's so uncomfortable to sit here and listen. It's so uncomfortable to be sitting here and doing nothing. Because I'm farm bred. Midwest raised, I'm supposed to be doing, I'm a doer. And the Lord says, stop it. Sit still so I can speak to you. Now, he will speak to you also while you're on the move, okay? I don't want you all just to sit around now and wait. I want you all to be productive and do all these things. Because the preacher said Sunday, yeah, I'll get a lot of phone calls on that. But in your quiet time, God, I ain't got this figured out. Holy Spirit, I need to hear from you. And ain't that strange if someone comes up and says, I was praying this morning, I heard from the Holy Spirit. And you look at them kind of weird and go, really? I never hear from the Holy Spirit. He never talks to me. And I'm thinking, yeah, I know why. Nobody can talk to you because you don't be quiet long enough. You know, so we've got to really look inside and see what we are doing when we're sitting and asking, waiting upon the Lord. Because the Father wants to talk. And then verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." How long has it been since y'all had peace? Can anybody raise their hand and says, "I had peace? I live in total peace"? Not total, okay. I'm glad you got it though. But I mean, this ain't peace I leave with you after the church service on Sunday morning or after your devotions. No, that's why we get to put on the whole armor, guys. So in that armor, we got the sandals that are shod with the gospel of peace. And what's that peace mean? It means peace in whatever circumstance you're walking through. Peace down whatever road you're going through. Peace in the middle of a job change. Peace in the middle of a job loss. Peace in the middle of you've lost a loved one. Peace in the middle of making decisions on where do I go to school? How do I pay for school? What do I do, Lord, with the situations in my life? He don't care what it is. He don't care how big it is or how small it is. We judge things like that because we can sit across the table and you go, "Yeah, I just can't get that thing going. It's just too hard." And I'm going, "Dude, all you got to do is get up and go over and do it or ask somebody for some help." But to that person, that is the biggest thing right at the moment in their life. And you're thinking, "No, that ain't big." The big thing is that I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. See, that's big to me. But to the man or woman of faith that's sitting there talking to me, is just ask God. You have not because you ask not. See, God cares about all of those things. He cares about his children coming and asking him, and then he's going to meet you there at that point. The gift of the Holy Spirit, and he is a gift. Mona, can I use you for a moment? Please. People who walk in the Spirit are used, and they don't even know they're used sometimes. Last week, I was heading out, and Miss Mona happened to stop me. And she says, "Bert, I had this dream, and if you got a minute, I'd like to tell you about it." I said, "Sure, I'd love to." And she says, "Yeah, this is a dream I had." And she says, "I saw you and Mr. Rich Shanks. You were in this place," and it was... And I may get some of the details wrong, but this is the way I received it. "You were in this place. It's kind of like a church. Not that you were starting a new church or leaving the church, but you were," she says, "basically, I think you were working the crowd. You and Rich were working the crowd. And you were in the people, and you were swaying their hearts, and you were enjoying what you were doing." I mean, this is what I heard her say. And you were liking what you were doing. And she says, there was a leader over wherever you were. So you weren't the head, but you two had great influence where you were. And you were working the crowd, and you were doing your thing. And she says, it was like I could see, and there was no pride, that you were very humble in what you were doing. And I'm going, "Lord, what is this?" And it didn't take me but seconds, and boom. The Lord says, "That's what you and Rich are doing when you go downtown with them black boys, and when you give your hearts to them. Because I have struggled. Am I making a difference? I don't always understand what's going on. I don't always keep up with current events and know everything's going on. I've never been a black man, so I cannot speak to that point. But I do have a heart for these boys. I have a heart for this nation, this city." And what Mona spoke to Rich and I told Rich, and I mean, it hit his heart like that, I believe, didn't it, Rich? And the Holy Spirit used her to give me a word of encouragement at the moment I needed it. Because we were starting up Rites of Passage again. And Rites of Passage is 20 weeks where we go down every Sunday and we're with these boys for a couple hours and we feed into them. And it hasn't been such a smooth start this year. We've had our share of rocky stuff in the leadership and all. And it's like the Lord said, "You're there. You're making the difference. Don't stop. Go on." And it made all the difference in the world in the first meeting for me. I wasn't even going to go last Sunday. And after I heard that, it just kind of, I can go now, Lord. Thank you. I needed that breath of refreshment. And the Holy Spirit says he'll come with a breath of refreshment. So the Holy Spirit is so quiet. He's not weird Uncle Al over in the corner. Jesus was very clear. He says, disciples, people of New Song, I cannot walk in flesh with you because in my flesh I'm limited to standing before the people of New Song. He says, I got to go away so that I can go ascend into heaven and be with the Father. And when I do that, the Father has given me a gift to give to you, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, the minute you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, this gift comes in alongside you. And the minute you accept that gift, he goes to work. And trust me, you need this gift. And this gift is, which is the Holy Spirit, is asking, will you just ask me where to walk next, what to do next? That's living in the Spirit. Is you get up in the morning and you pray and say, Lord, I'm about to go into my job, and it may be a war zone. It may be the best place you ever laid foot on because it's your dream job. But what do you want me to do when I'm there? Who do you want me to speak to? Who do you want me to avoid? There's times the Holy Spirit says, just avoid that right now. Let it cool down. And if you follow that, it's not always fun and rosy and going to be happy, but you will survive the day in peace. There's the difference, if you can survive the day in peace. So the Holy Spirit wants to be invited in, he wants to be asked, and he wants to be a part of you. So I give you this list because it's quite, covers a lot of things. The Spirit leads us. The Spirit empowers you. The Spirit fills you up. He teaches you to pray. The Spirit washes and renews you. How many of you ever needed washed and renewed? You've done something that you just wasn't what you wanted to do. It's kind of like Paul says, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't get done the things that I do want to do. And by the time you're done, you're going, Paul, I know what you're saying. I don't know what you said, but that's me. And he comes in and he says, the Holy Spirit says, I want to renew you today. I want to cleanse you. I want to forgive you. See, there's one infilling of the Holy Spirit and many, many, many anointings. But the Holy Spirit doesn't have to be weird. You don't have to stand up and yell out in tongues. That isn't required, you know. No rolling down the aisle required to be a part. You don't have to get up and prophesy. You know, you don't have to wear the camel skin inside out and eat the critters that come off, you know, or coming out of the trees and what have you. That's not required to walk with it. And this is the weird stuff that the church has tried to fill us with. And I know I'm tweaking some of you. You're going, dude, man, you've just taken everything I've ever been taught and you just pitched it out the window. But the Holy Spirit's personal, like our Lord's personal. And he so personally came to die for you. He said everything else. He set the rest of his agenda of life aside to come to die for your sins. It doesn't get any better than that. And then he says, that ain't enough. I'm going to go hang out with the Father for a while. And while I'm sitting by the Father's side, you know what Jesus said? I pray for you more every day than the sands on the beaches of this world we walk. Now, I can't even imagine that. Because I get down and I get to praying for 5 minutes and I fall asleep. I know none of you don't. You're prayer warriors. But that's not my strong suit, okay? I get down to pray, and if it's cozy and warm and the temperature's good, lights out, Jackson, I'm gone. I will see you later, Lord. And if anybody happens to wake me up, I says, oh, I was just enjoying myself in the Lord so much. He just put me at such peace, I just fell over. I mean, I can come up with all this stuff. But the key is Jesus is sitting there calling out your name. He says, hey, Father God, remember Miss Dawn. Look at her. She's my daughter, and I love her, and I care for her. Bless her day. And there's her husband, Eric. What a good man. Lord, just anoint him and bless him and give him favor wherever his feet walk. How awesome. You got Jesus, your big brother, sitting up there doing that. Then the Holy Spirit comes and fills and says, the Holy Spirit is like a buffer, a ping pong ball. You're the ball, and he's got these paddles. It just keeps you in the way. He doesn't scold you. He doesn't whoop on you, but he says, stay in your lane, will you? It's a whole lot easier if you stay where the water's supposed to run. Don't be going over there. And it's so cool. So the Holy Spirit's been evident in my life, in my family's life, time after time. There's been times that that's all you got to call out upon. There's been times that I was so full of rage and anger when I was younger, growing up, raising my kids. And I go, Lord, I remember the one breaking point. I said, Lord, I don't know where to go. I'm gonna leave. I either need to leave this earth or you need to fix me. And the Holy Spirit came in, and boy, did he fix me. He said, I actually had, believe this or not, I actually had a demon of rage and anger that ran down through my ancestry. I mean, I saw it in my dad, I saw it in my brothers, I saw it in me, and I was one of these guys that would turn just totally black the minute it happened, and I was rageful. And I didn't even know what I was doing half the time. And the Lord says, I want to take that out of you. And I said, I don't know how to do it. He says, my Holy Spirit does. So I says, well, will he show me? And he says, sure. And he showed me how to go in, and it was actually one of the wildest nights of my life, but one of the freest nights of my life. Someday I'll tell you the story if you want to have a cup of coffee. You'll have to buy the coffee, by the way. So, but I'll do that for you. And I've seen where the Lord, when I cried out to the Holy Spirit, one day I had one of my kids fall out of a hayloft. It was Amanda, the one in Nicaragua. And that might explain why she's... No, never mind. Anyways, she ain't here to even protect herself. Anyways, she fell, she fell on the back of her head and her neck. And it was a hayloft probably 10 foot up there, you know, where you put the hay up in the barn. She was bleeding out of her nose and her mouth and her eyes. So we threw her in the car, and we're racing like mad people. You know, 911 was, we were clear out in the country. That wasn't even an option at that point. We finally called them on the way, and they met us. But we were praying. I was praying in the Spirit, and I said, Holy Spirit, I don't even know how to pray for this. And I began to intercede, because I do have the gifts of tongues where I pray, and I began to pray in my personal tongue to God. I don't even know how to ask you to save my little girl. And man, until you're at that point, you're desperate. You'll do anything. You'll try anything. And the Holy Spirit showed up. She got to the hospital, and it was shortly after she was up moving, doing all this thing. My other little lady back here, she's one day, we're at my brother's house, and it's in an orange soda can, and we're hillbillies, okay? I just can't deny this. And we had gun cleaning solvent in an orange can. It was used, and it was dirty, and we used it to start a fireplace, okay? Accelerants and fire, I like, okay? That's just want y'all to know that. So anyways, we had that, and so she saw that orange soda can, and she ran over without thinking, none of us paying attention, and she chugged this stuff, and it burnt her from... And she passed out and went out and quit breathing on us. So again, we crawl in the car. We're racing at 100 plus miles an hour down to the hospital. Holy Spirit, I got another baby here that I messed up with. Can you come to my rescue? And we got down there. She started breathing on the way down there as we prayed. She got in there. They gave her this Epicac stuff. She downed that, threw up all over everybody, and began to run up and down the halls. Not another thing. The Holy Spirit showed up and met us there. You want me to tell another story? There's this big specimen of a young man back here, and I'm very proud of him. But we were snowboarding down Frog Mountain in Oregon. And Frog Mountain's where they've clear cut, and the snow piles in, so you go up there inner tubing. And so we get on these inner tubes, and you're riding down Snow Mountain or Frog Mountain there, and you're dodging things. Well, he's going down, and you're going, by the time you hit your peak, you're going 40, 50 miles an hour in these inner tubes. And I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing fun, okay? Well, he's going down there, and my brother's there, and my older brother's with me, and Jeremiah sees him, and he's trying to get him away from a stump that was above the snow. And so Jeremiah's coming down past him just as, and instead of letting him help him, he doesn't see the danger, he kicks my brother and keeps kicking at him. My brother goes, "You little jerk," you know? And so he couldn't get a hold of him, you know? So he goes down, he hits one of those stumps down below at about 50 miles an hour. His inner tube blows, and he's out. He lights out Jackson, and he slinks the rest of the way down. He still had momentum, so he's still sliding on his back and is all the way to the bottom of the hill. We get down there, and he's out cold. And so we think he's got a concussion, broken all. So we pile him in. Somebody comes by with a snowmobile and a sled, big toboggan, what we call a toboggan. You guys call hats toboggans, I don't know. And so anyways, he pulls him in. We get him in the car, and we race to the hospital. And I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. And it's quite a feat. We got like 10 kids were trying to get in these vehicles. It was unbelievable. We were foster parents back then. And I prayed a lot in the Spirit when we had foster kids, too. I just want you to know that. And so we're careening to the hospital, and I happen to see an eye open up, or I hear an eye, something happen back there, and he goes, "Hey, Dad, yeah, can we stop at McDonald's? I'm kind of hungry." I'm going, "He's going to be all right, ain't he, Lord?" So we did not get him a hamburger at that moment. We says, "Maybe after the doctor checks you out." He had the Lord to just totally heal, and the Lord has been there for me and my family time after time. And that's the covering of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the glue that holds a church together. Unity. When there's unity and love, people can work through anything. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can hold a family together. The Holy Spirit, and this may be a dumb analogy, but if you've ever seen a mother chick with her hens, she continually has those wings out there, and she protects them till they're old enough to walk on their own. Well, guess what? He does that for you, but you're never going to be old enough to walk away on your own. You're always going to need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. So don't try to run from that protection. Embrace that protection. So in short, okay, if you get your salvation, which is simple, that's just believing in Jesus Christ. That's just saying, "Hey, God, I'm the biggest sinner there ever was." Paul said he was, and I don't think he was. I think I was. Okay? And I'm a mess up. Can you ever forgive me? And he says, "Sure I can, son. Just come to me. Let me hold you. Let me love on you." And so I got my salvation. And at that point, he says, "Hey, Holy Spirit, would you take care of this guy from here? Because I'm going to go pray for him, but you need to continue to walk with him every day." The Holy Spirit walks with me every day. But you know what? He loves to have conversation with you. He loves for you to talk and to ask. He wants to hear from you. Everybody else in your life can be busy. Your husband can be busy and he may not hear you, women. Your wife may be giving you so many details, men, that you couldn't even fathom how you would get all that, and you're bored out of your brain. Teenagers, you just plain don't listen most of the time, so you know it. But the Holy Spirit is the one who will sit gently and listen to you and lead you and guide you. So you have not because you ask not. So you got the Holy Spirit. Father God, he loved you so much. He's around you all the time watching over you. He's the good shepherd. And you know what? It takes the weirdness out of... My Holy Spirit ain't the weird Uncle Al in the corner no more. He's the one that resides in here and is leading me. You may not like what I had to say today, but he's the one leading me as I spoke today. Because this is my story. This is how I see the Holy Spirit. And I see him as a friend, a comforter, a helper, and one that comes in alongside and one's there, even when I don't know he's there. I can tell you stories now looking back where the Holy Spirit's been in my life and protected me and covered me so many times I wasn't even aware. And that's what he is doing for you. But he wants you to recognize him. He wants you to invite him in every day. I don't care where you are. I don't care what addiction you're in. It doesn't matter. I don't care what you're walking. I don't care how many marriages you've had. I don't care how many broken pieces in your life you have. The Holy Spirit wants to come in and lead and guide and put that all back together for you. Because he loves you and cares for you. All right? So I'm going to ask if I've got any team here this morning that can come up and pray. If you just need someone to pray for you, we're just going to take a few moments. We aren't going to stay a long time. You got somebody who can strum on something there? Can you do a little fiddle? The devil ain't coming to Louisville, but if you can strum for us a little bit, well, that'd be awesome. Just play a little something. But if you're hurting in any way, if you go, you know what? I'm not sure what Pastor Bert had to say is worth 2 cents, but I want to know for myself. I want to ask. So if you just need somebody to talk to for me, these are all trusted people. These are my friends. These are my loved ones. These are the folks that somebody come in the door to, I would stand in front and take it for them. These are my people. So I trust them. So if you need somebody, come forward, please. The Lord just wants to touch. If you're hurting, if you need healing, there's healing in the house this morning.